Do you guys like comic opera?
Yes.
That's not working, is it? There we go, that's better. Classy. Now, for those of you listening in high definition, you may be able to hear the occasional pop and the occasional whistle that's going on here. This is actually recorded from a record. This is the overture to Ruddy Gore, which is a Gilbert and Sullivan comic opera, and it's soon to be performed by the East Norfolk Operatic Society, and I think I'm ecstatic in welcoming to the studio Margaret, Roz and Jenny. Margaret Collingwood, Roz Stretman and Jenny Plunkett. Good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon.
Now, are you going to cause me any trouble this afternoon?
Come on, I do hope so.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I always worry when I get ganged up on. I can take two ladies at a time. But any more than that, and I get a little bit intimidated. Well, you know, to the pure all is pure, Margaret, is all I'm saying. And you're putting on, is it Ruddy Gore?
Ruddy Gore.
Right, Ruddy Gore. Just explain to us a little bit about what Ruddy Gore is all about.
I will, but it's absolutely impossible to tell the story because it's based on a real old-fashioned melodrama. So you've got bad guys, you've got good guys, you've got beautiful young ladies who get carried off. You get
Jenny pointing at herself.
Beautiful, not so young ladies who also get carried off, which is Roz. And then you've got a whole picture gallery that stepped down to tell our young hero what he's supposed to be doing, and he's supposed to be committing a crime every day or he'll suffer.
Now, is this based on some fable or some legend or something like that? Is
this no, not at all.
No, well, you make it up now, don't you? You just make this up as you go along now.
No. My job. No. I just make things up as we go.
No, it's taken just from the melodrama form.
Okay.
So it's not a particular one, it's just that general form.
And it's all based in Cornwall.
It's written based in Cornwall, but we've sort of moved it. We've moved it to the North Norfolk coast.
Cromer?
Can you be a bit sort of more vague, really? Just go up a bit. Yeah.
The sea?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not stipulating, really. No. This is just vaguely the North Norfolk coast.
Just North Norfolk.
Because we've kept the village name of Red Herring, which is what it was kept in GNS, so there are references to Red Herring. Yeah. But it's very much on the North Norfolk coast.
Okay, and have you changed any of the dialect, any of the script or anything like that? Because I know, and I didn't actually realise this until I did extensive research into the Gilbert and Sullivan. Don't laugh at me.
Sorry.
Please, Ross, you know, this is meant to be a serious broadcaster. Most of the Gilbert and Sullivan stuff fell out of copyright about 40 years ago or so. So suddenly anyone can do anything they want with it without any
repercussions. That's right, and people do.
So you can now, can't you?
Yeah. But we've kept the... And it is quite an archaic language, but it doesn't matter. I mean, it's actually being set... I don't think we're giving too many secrets away. Actually set in the Second World War. So we've gone very much from Victorian melodrama, usual situation, to actually put it in the 1940s in North Norfolk. Mm. And actually that lends itself beautifully because the hero is a farmer, so he's reserved occupation, which is perfect. You've got his brother coming from sea visiting, so he's on shore leave.
In the Navy.
And so it's all worked beautifully. You know, you've got land girls now, USAF airmen. As
come over here.
That's right.
Drinking our tights, chewing our gums.
Yes.
Something like that. Yeah.
So something like that, yes. So actually it's worked very cleverly, and that's thanks to Margaret and her vision.
Are you the director as well then, Margaret?
I am just the director.
You're just the director, so you're not appearing. Do you ever feel that you want to jump on stage and be melodramatic?
I jump a lot, actually, but that's before it gets to the performance. But no, yes, I do perform, and we've got some concerts coming up, and I'll do some singing then. But I have to say that the power of moving 35 people around on stage is just wonderful.
Yes, that's right.
Jenny's our leading lady, so I do an awful lot of bullying where she's concerned.
Because Norfolk's got I don't know whether it's growing in popularity, but there seems to be more and more productions going on right from the village hall right up into to the theatre hall and everything in between. You guys are appearing at the Madam Market Theatre. Right. Where is it now? The 5th to the 8th of May. So the sort of the week after next.
Yeah, we've got one more week of rehearsal and then we're on.
I've been involved in some plays. I was rubbish at acting. I appeared as the likely lad and the waiter in Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat when I was at school. But I have the inability to remember any lines. So, out of a run of 7 runs, I only got it right once. And that was in 7 plays. I only got one bit right. And everyone cheered at that point. Because it was the same parents. They kept coming to the same thing just to make us feel good. But it was an amazing amount of work. And it does take up a lot of your time. I mean, how all-embracing has this been for you guys and also the rest of the cast as well, I suppose, the last couple of months?
I mean, I'm very lucky I don't work. So my days can also be used to put this onto the stage, which is great. We have 2 rehearsals per week. But then we also do other rehearsals during the week. Jenny and both of our leading men, Tom and Andrew, come for singing lessons. And they are just taken up most of the time with learning the part and reworking it, revising it. So, it takes us from September through to May to actually get it onto the stage.
Wowzers. How many performances do you guys put on a year? Is it one main performance?
It's the one main performance. We do a few concerts here and there in various churches and areas around Norfolk.
Yeah. Okay. And have you got anything planned for the summer? I mean, you must be at a loose end after
We have one concert planned at the moment for Horsted Church, which is on the 5th or 6th of June. I can't remember. Whichever one is the Saturday. And that's not just GNS either, so we're going to put some musical theatre into that one, which will be a nice break.
Okay, the weekend after my birthday for anyone who cares.
Oh.
You know, you can write cards to
come and celebrate.
We'll make a cake.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Right, guys, we'll chat more in just a little bit. Margaret Collingwood, Roz Sweatman, and Jenny Plunkett are in the studio. They're performing Ruddy Gall, a GNS comic opera from the East Norfolk Operatic Society. So we'll come into the Madam Market Theatre on the 5th to the 7th of May. We'll be giving you a box office number in just... What did I say?
7th, but we want the Saturday.
5th to 7th. That's because I read it kicks off at 7:30, you see.
Okay.
See, I'm just so quick. I skip lines just to get all the information in. I think I got away with that one. You're listening to David Webster on BBC Radio Norfolk. We have the guys from the East Norfolk Operatic Society in the studio. We're talking Ruddy Gall. It's a comedy opera by Gilbert and Sullivan. I'll tell you my story about my first and last ever encounter with Gilbert and Sullivan in just a little while. Welcome to the afternoon show. Half an hour left, and then Matthew Gudgeon takes over at 4, getting you home, giving you all the news for today. But for the next 30 minutes or so, we'll be talking to the East Norfolk Operatic Society. They're putting on a performance. Why have you got your heads in your hands, ladies?
Just got a few giggles.
Okay. East Norfolk Opera... I might be missing something.
No.
Putting on Ruddy Gall by Gilbert and Sullivan. It's a comic opera appearing at the Madam Market on the 5th to the 7th of May. Kick off at 7:30. Box office for tickets is 01603.
5th of May.
Did I say 7th?
Yes. And we have a matinee as well on the 8th, so you've knocked off two performances.
At 2:30.
What publicity we're now getting for the 8th of May, because we're just saying so many times it's the 8th of May as well.
It's all planned, this
year. Yes, it is.
Box office number 01603-620917, that's right, isn't it?
Exactly.
Or stick in Madam Market Theatre into a well-known internet search engine, and you'll be able to get the number up there. We have Margaret Collingwood, we have Jenny Plunkett, and we have Roz Sweatman in the studio for now, if they behave themselves. Jenny, coming to you next.
Hello.
Shouldn't you be in school or something like that? Shouldn't you be?
Should definitely not be.
Should
in school?
Should you not?
No.
But you look so youthful and so young. I imagine.
Well, thank you ever so much.
Yeah. That's just comparison.
Rose between
two thorns.
So, what do you get up to when you're not performing for these guys?
Well, all sorts of things. I have a full-time job that I enjoy very much, and I like to go out and see my friends and all sorts of things like that.
You're being very elusive. You're not meant to be at work now, are you? You haven't
I
just called off
be.
Sick.
Shh, it's a secret.
Okay. No one will. And Roz, what do you get up to on a daily basis when you're not pumping out fat tunes from Gilbert and Sullivan?
My rest of my life is entirely UEA based. I work full time at the UEA, and I'm studying now for hopefully my PhD. So there's not a lot of time left for anything very much.
What are you studying
in my life? Do you really want to know?
Yeah.
Well, it's early modern English based, and I'm doing musical practices and patronage of Renaissance Norfolk and Suffolk.
I didn't realise the Renaissance hit Norfolk and Suffolk.
Believe you me, it did.
I thought it went up the M1 and just bypassed us and went to the Farne Islands.
No, I don't know.
Really?
Renaissance M1, no.
Do you know what? I think that people doing a PhD, people doing doctorates now, is now in fashion. Because Brian May, I shouldn't have said that. We might have a well-known guitarist on the show on Friday, but we've still got to clear it. He's just finished his PhD in astrophysics.
Yeah.
We've now got the very unlikely sex symbol in Professor Brian Cox, who used to be the pianist, and Dee Ream, who was on the BBC Two show Secrets of the Solar System, or Wonders of the Solar System. So
he was a professor at a very young age, Brian Cox.
He was
incredible.
Yeah, very, very bright. Far brighter than me. Also, wonderful teeth. I don't know whether you noticed.
They don't go together necessarily, though, do they?
Wonderful teeth and intelligence.
PhDs, yeah.
I don't know.
You can't even say it unless you've got the PhD.
Why did you decide to do a PhD? Is there something you've always held close to you, or is it part of
it? No, not at all. I came to, and I only did my MA 2 years ago, so I didn't do my first degree, which is in music. Second degree, my MA is in early modern history, so PhDs combining music and history. And I came to it much later in life and loving it.
I was going to say, it's not a subject I've heard of before.
No, it's just two areas that merge nicely together.
Yeah. All right, good stuff. Does it help you with doing sort of an appreciation for music? Does that help you doing your stuff for the Operatic Society?
I suppose music, if music's been your, you know, part of your life for a long time, it has been, but more sort of in a practical way, yeah. And then you go into the academic and research side of it. Yeah. It's just a nice move on from when I feel I'm now starting to get too old to perform, and I just now want to do more of the research side of it.
46 is not too old, just remember that. Whatever.
I'm 42!
Crikey. Do you do at the Operatic Society? It's all about music. You've got to be at one, I suppose, and you've got to be in tune with all the other people in the cast.
Very
as well.
Much work as a team. Because very much.
Yeah, because you haven't got a conductor at the front, so to keep in time is a bit more difficult.
That's right.
I went down to the Maid of Ale Studios in London, the BBC Maid of Ale Studios, because they handpicked some people from local Norfolk schools to go down and play with them when they went and did a concert in King's Lynn and also in Great Yarmouth, the BBC Concert Orchestra. And they did these exercises at the start where you had to slap your hands on the floor around in a circle. Then you put your hands overlapping other people's and you had to do the same thing. Then you had to keep a beat. And I was absolutely rubbish at it.
Mm.
I think I have no musical talent whatsoever.
I think you have, but you just need to bring it out. I mean, a lot of people that we've got working with us on stage have come into the society not having been on stage before and are now thoroughly enjoying it, partly because as we work as a team, as we have such a broad base of age as well, from the very young, with our youngest being only 16, right into the 80s, it means everybody supports everybody else. And there isn't that awful sort of pecking order or, you know, desperate for ratings and rankings. We are genuinely one big, you know, sort of supportive society, which is great.
How long have you guys been going for?
Book 51 years. We had our 50th anniversary last year.
And you did a big performance.
We
that.
Did. I we had a that. Wonderful, wonderful concert and lots of activities. And
And what was fun last year was that we actually had original cast members come in the audience, come to see it.
Yeah.
And that was just
Zimmer frame, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I know. It was absolutely gorgeous to actually have original members in the audience. It was just great. It was lovely.
What's it like going on stage? Because I was listening to, I think it was Felicity Kendall, and she said the most enjoyable part of it is the rehearsals, and once you get on stage, when you get on stage, it's more like work because you're doing the same thing every time. You're not actually, you know, learning that much more. I mean, how do you find it? We'll come to you, Jenny. How do you find it when you get on stage? Is it? Do the lights love you?
I hope so. I absolutely adore being on the stage. I love the rehearsals, but I love the actual performances more because there's a whole new bunch of people that you're out to impress, and they've all paid to come and see you perform, and that's a very special feeling. That's not something you can get anywhere.
And what happens if you make a small mistake or dry up?
Margaret stands up in the aisles and points and glares at you. No, she doesn't really.
So you have someone at the side of the stage going, "And now for thee, Forsyth, I say to thee."
Yes, we have someone sitting right at the front, and just every so often she does get called in to say one or two words. But really, because our rehearsal schedule is so intense, actually by the time we get onto that stage on Wednesday night, most people are word perfect. We've had one or two very dramatic changes of words or slip-ups and sort of people having to, you know, get everything back together again. But on the whole, it's ready to perform.
Because most of Gilbert and Sullivan, is it not sung to music? It is an operetta. It's an opera.
I would say it's probably two-thirds music, a third dialogue.
You've
got some quite good chunks of dialogue.
Because it's easier to get out of dialogue than it is to music, because once you make a small mistake when you're trying to sing something.
Yeah, that is true, but at the same time, it's so much easier to remember the words for songs than it is the dialogue, because you've got things to hook onto. You've either got dance steps or you've got... And if it's in the chorus, obviously, you've got everybody else around you. Whereas when you're doing dialogue, you're very exposed because it is just you and you're feeding other people lines. So it's a big responsibility.
Just you in the prompt, really, actually.
Now, they always say it's a bit like folk music. There's a certain stigma that's attached to folk music. There's a certain stigma that's attached to opera and to comedy opera. When people go along to it, sometimes there's that slight barrier to entry. I mean, how do you guys get over that and say, no, come along, you'll enjoy yourself, just take yourself away and you'll actually enjoy it and you'll understand what's going on?
I think part of the way we're getting over that, and it did go through a slump about sort of six or seven years ago, is by having brought in the young people. We've attracted young people because our standard has got better. Younger people are actually coming in and enjoying working with us. And of course, as you get a couple, so then a couple more come in, which is great. So we've now got quite a group of youngsters. And I think that helps, because that obviously makes it very lively on stage. We've also got, we do try setting it in different time frames. So again, that bringing it into World War II has brought it into the memory of quite a few people who will be coming to see it. So again, that attracts a bigger audience. So I think that actually G&S is going through a little bit of a revival.
You know, I think Baz Luhrmann has done wonders for plays, for Shakespeare, for operas, because he was the first one really to take Romeo and Juliet, give it a completely different, very, very contemporary setting. And it actually, I mean, girls for some reason love Leonardo DiCaprio. Me and myself don't really see it. Claire Danes, yeah, I can see what they're going on about. But he really took it out of the original script, put it into a contemporary scene. And so then people started to really wake up to what Shakespeare was and go, oh, it's not just about thee and someone holding a skull.
Yeah.
It does.
You can relate to it a bit easier.
And I think as well with this, when you talk about Shakespeare in modern settings, this is why actually G&S would still be archaic language. There's lots of thou wast's and knowest thou and all the rest of it. Although it's now in the Second World War setting, it actually doesn't matter at all any more than seeing Shakespeare in a modern setting. Mm. You don't expect any of that language to be changed either. And it does it marries the two periods very well.
Good stuff. It's in two acts, isn't it?
Yes.
Is there an interval? Is there ice cream?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And popcorn.
Yeah.
You get a glass of wine.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes. Good stuff. Ladies, thank you very much for coming in this afternoon. Thank you for behaving yourselves to a certain extent. That's Margaret Collingwood, Jenny Plunkett and Roz Swetman. They're appearing in Ruddy Gore. It's all being put on by the East Norfolk Operatic Society at the Madam Market Theatre on the 5th to the 8th.
Yay!
Starts at 7:30 every evening. A matinee on Saturday the 8th at 2:30. For the box office, 01603 620917. If you want more information, log on to the internet, search for the Madam Market Theatre and search for Ruddy Gore, or even go on to the East Norfolk Operatic Society website. Do you guys have a website?
We do indeed.
Marvellous. Best way to do that, as I say, stick in East Norfolk Operatic Society into your search engine. And we're going to finish on a track from Ruddy Gore. What is it, Margaret? Just explain to us.
It's the hornpipe, and it's when Dick comes back from the sea.
It's good to get a bit of Dick on the radio. And there we go, that was one of the tracks from Ruddy Gore. You can go and see the East Norfolk Operatic Society performing at the Madam Market Theatre on the 5th to the 8th of May 2010 at 7:30 matinee on Saturday the 8th at 2:30. Box office 01603 620917.